Hope. Amy talked quite a bit about this. Where's your hope? Hope sometimes is interchanged with trust or faith or confidence. Where's your trust, your faith, your hope, your confidence? Where do you place it? In the stock market? In your job? In Social Security? In a wall between Mexico and America? I mean, let's get personal, right? Where do you place your hope? Is it in your home? Is it in your city? Is it in your government? Is it in your safe full of guns? I know we're in North Idaho, so some people might actually do that. But where is your hope? Our hope is supposed to be in Christ Jesus. But some things, our heart gets full of the wrong things, and we hope for the wrong things. And then we quickly find out we didn't get what we wanted because we weren't hoping for the right things. And then we're disappointed, and discouragement and despair comes over us. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. This is what the Word of God says about it. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Have you ever hoped for something and just knew it was coming and knew you were going to get it or it was going to arrive or the situation was going to happen and then it didn't happen? How did you feel? I'm guessing your heart was sick, right? I've set my heart on the wrong things in my life several times. And then when it didn't happen, my heart was sick. I was depressed or in despair. But here's what else it says in verse 12. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. If we set our hearts on the right things, on godly things, on God Himself, and He fulfills our longing, it's a tree of life. Growing inside of us, a wellspring of life growing inside of us. But we've got to get our hope set on who He is and not on what we want here on this earth or this world around us. Because often we set our sights on the wrong things. And then when it doesn't come to pass, we think, well, maybe God just doesn't like me. Maybe God just doesn't care. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. So the whole title of chapter 40 is Comfort for God's People. Does anyone here ever need comfort in their life?
Yeah.
Comfort? Okay, like three of you. Wow. The rest of you are doing really great. Really great. I need comfort in my life often. My son just got his driver's license this last week. I need comfort. I need to know that all of you are safe on the highway. And I'm safe when I'm in the vehicle with him, right? We need comfort each and every day. Some of us have our comfort food. I have comfort coffees. Hey, that wasn't that funny. We all have comforts of life. I'm sure you have your favorite pillow you snuggle up with every night. Or teddy bear, not to mention any names. We all have comforts of life we enjoy, but what we really need is deep, spiritual, mental comfort. Knowing that things are going to be okay when life looks array around us. But sometimes we fall into this. Picking up at verse 27, Isaiah chapter 40. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Have you ever found yourself in that situation of life? You're saying, does God even see me? Does God even care? Does He even know I exist? Guess where my hope is at that point? It's not on God. It's on me and my situation and my circumstance. And I'm not seeing the bigger picture, that my God is still in control, that my God is still my strength, that my God is still my refuge, that my God is still where my help comes from. But I'm seeing, oh, poor, pathetic Arby, and nobody cares. But if our hope is in the Lord, if we continue reading, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. That means he's not going anywhere, right? Because the earth is still here. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Here's the part you should put your hope in. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those whose hope is in the Lord. And I know we've all faced situations and circumstances in our lives that we had no control of. And we got in the middle and go, Lord, how did we get here? Or we whined and complained about how it wasn't our fault and we didn't do anything to get here, rather than putting our hope in the Lord. I want to tell you today about a young man. His name was Daniel. As a young man, Daniel was taken captive by the king of Babylon, imprisoned. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it tells us what kind of man the king was looking for. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Because Daniel had a hope. Daniel had a future. Daniel had dreams. And I'm pretty sure being taken captive was not in his plans. Right? Just like some of you have had some circumstances, situations in your life that weren't in your plans. The king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. This sounds like the kind of man you would want your daughter to marry, doesn't it? Handsome without blemish, aptitude for understanding. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. So Daniel either came from royalty or a family of nobility. So he probably had his sights set pretty high in life of where he was going to end up, right? And he was obviously well-educated and a pretty smart fella and obviously good-looking without defect. But he still gets taken into captivity. And what does he do in captivity? He kicks, screams, whines, complains, throws fits. Right? Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? No. He goes and serves the king that has brought him as captive. Of course, he still adheres to the word of God, to God's laws and decrees over him, because his hope was in God. His hope was in who God said he is. And that didn't change whether he was held in captivity or whether he was home free. His hope was still in the Lord God Almighty. So Daniel stays in captivity. I never realized it was this long, but for over 65 years, Daniel was in captivity. There's no record of him ever being married or having children. So he served a foreign king as a slave or captive for 65 years of his life plus under two kings and served them well. He still showed up and did his job every day, what was required of him, what was asked of him. He learned the Babylonian ways, their language, their writing, and eventually became, as a captive, prime minister. Well, that's the position he served in, even as captive, because his hope was in the Lord. So some of us would look at captivity and go, wow, that's not God's plan. Right? We wouldn't see that as God's plan. Eventually, we know that Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den because he won't bow down and worship the king, but he will still pray to his God publicly as he always had. He still served God without compromising his religion or his belief in who God was. But he also served the king because his hope was in the Lord. And what this took on his part was attitude and effort. How many of you in captivity could get up and serve a king that had imprisoned you? Anyone? Okay, we have one, two. But as sons and daughters of God, that's what we're supposed to do. Because I'm not serving the king, I'm serving the King of Kings. And regardless of who is between us on that totem pole, I'm serving the King of Kings. He deserves my best attitude. He deserves my best effort each and every day and each and every situation. But Satan is on mission. He wants to sideline us, put us out of the mission of God, put us out of the will of God, put us out of having our hope locked away in God. He wants us to have our hope in something much smaller. So there's several ways he will affect us. There's several ways that he comes in. Sometimes he comes in through tragedy. He brings tragedy into our lives, unforeseen circumstances. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe incredible debt. Maybe an addiction. Maybe an affair. Maybe the loss of a child. Satan comes at us in all different ways. And we think, you know, if God's good, why would this happen to me? I've got news for you. God's still good. Regardless of what's going on around us, God is still good. He's still amazing and great. Sometimes he comes at us and we're going, I didn't sign up for this. This isn't how I thought being a Christian would be. I thought it would be easy and fun and joyous all the time. And now I'm experiencing hardship. Now I'm experiencing fear and anxiety. I didn't think serving God would be like this. But God says, I'll be with you in the storms of life. I'll be with you in the trials. I will give you strength. I will renew your strength. So even when you feel weak or beat down or dismayed, God will renew your strength. Sometimes it's like this. When I was about 16, I invited my wife along on a hound hunting bear trip. Chasing bear with hound dogs. It's really easy. You just turn dogs out and they catch bears right by the road. Takes about 5 minutes of your day. So up to this point in my hound hunting experience, I had always went with people that had good dogs. So it was never a 5 minute race, but there were some easy ones and they weren't too far and they weren't too bad. Now my best friend and I had started developing our own hound pack. And we were using our dogs this particular day and thought, it can't be that tough, right? So my wife and I were dating in high school at this point, and I invite her along, and I don't know if she was just trying to suck me in or... She says, yeah, I'll go. So we get up early and we head to the woods and we get a bear going about 6:30 in the morning. I don't know if you've ever been in Clear Creek. But Clear Creek, not your end of Clear Creek, the upper end where there's no roads. And we let loose in there at 6:30 in the morning. And we heard them catch the bear, and we thought, well, we'll hike in there and shoot it or let it go, whatever. So we get about there, and the bear's not in a tree. He's on the ground. When we get close, we don't get to see him, but we hear him break and run. And this happens hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. I was hiking. I went for my walk with God in Clear Creek a couple weeks ago, and I'm hiking through there, and I didn't take the trail. I was just side-hilling. And I sat down on this one ridge, and I'm looking around thinking, this is miserable. This is ugly. Why did Kathleen ever stay with me? Because it's a horrible, nasty canyon. It's steep. It's bluffy. It's very brushy. It's not a fun place to just go for a stroll in the woods. But anyway, 9:30 at night, we finally get back to the vehicle. Mind you, all day we had 3 granola bars between 4 of us. As you can imagine, she's a trooper. Sometimes in life, we think we signed up for a nice, easy walk in the woods to go look at a bear in a tree. And we find out a few hours into it, we don't have food. There's lots of water on the mountain. Don't have to worry about that. But we find out we're tired, we're weary, we're hungry. We're sleep deprived. And we're just going, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I envisioned serving Jesus would be like. I think Daniel in this passage, he probably had a few moments that he sat down and said, Lord, he went to his window one of those 3 times a day and went, Lord, if this cup can pass, let it pass. I don't want to do this anymore. But not my will, but yours. Just like Jesus did at the cross. You know he had those moments. Serving in a foreign land, serving a foreign king, learning a foreign language to do their work, not building his own empire, not raising his own family. You know he had those moments, but yet he kept his integrity intact. He kept his attitude and effort, his hope, focused on the King of Kings, and not King Nebuchadnezzar, not King Darius, but the King of Kings. Lord, I serve you first. And I know my best service to you is serving my earthly king well. So I'm going to go and be the best prime minister I can be as a captive. So 18 years went by, and I convinced my wife to go bear hunting again. I said, no dogs this time. We're not going to run around the woods all day and be crazy. Because that's why you get a hound hunting permit. It's so you can go hunt your hounds after you turn them loose. It's not a bear hunting permit. It's a hound hunting permit. Okay? Just don't let that one trick you if you ever go do that. That's why you have to have that permit, so you can go find your dog. So 18 years go by, and I invite my wife. Of course, we're married at this point. And you know, of course, I ask her every year. I even asked her again this year, you want to go bear hunting? She's not ready for another bear hunt yet. I said, this one will be a bait. We'll ride it on the four-wheeler. We'll get really close. It's a short walk in, not very steep. We'll sit on the ground, watch the bait, see what happens. Might shoot one, might not. So we're sitting there on the ground, and she's right next to me. And she's holding my hand, and pretty soon she's really holding my hand. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? My eyes are scanning everywhere. I don't see anything. And then she's really holding my hand, like, you know, death grip type hold. I'm like, I know she sees a bear from her reaction right now, but I don't see it anywhere. And I'm mostly deaf, so I can't hear it either. And finally, she's got such a grip on me, I'm like, something's not right. And so I'm like, what? And she's like, bear. And I'm like, where? She's like, right beside me. And so I turn and look, and her head right here is silhouetted in black. Of course, we're about to die, in her mind. I'm like, okay, don't move, because I noticed there were three bears. And you know how Goldilocks turned out. I could tell two of them were little bears, which means the big one is who? Mama bear. Don't make mama bear mad, right? So I'm like, don't move. And so I pull my rifle and lay it across her lap, pointed at this bear. And she saw the movement and kind of hoofed at us. And then her two cubbies run at us and climb a tree. Kathleen's going, shoot it, shoot it. I'm like, we can't shoot it. She's like, shoot it. I'm like, we can't. She's like, shoot it. And I'm like, just be still. They'll go away. She'll call her babies. And she's pacing back and forth, going, jump, 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 jump. She is not a happy mama. And so finally she calls her babies. They jump out of the tree and run off. And I'm excited because it's the last hour and a half of daylight when things get good at a bear bait. And she says, let's go. I said, well, it's just getting good. The bears are showing up. And she said, we're leaving. So, of course, we left. But sometimes in our lives, see, I've had a lot of experience with bears. I've been around lots of bears. This mama bear just wanted her babies and wanted to go. She wasn't necessarily a code red threat to us. How's that? Okay, she was probably like a code purple. She was not happy and she wanted her babies and wanted to go. But I've been around a lot of bears and experienced that. And I know when they're mad and you need to shoot them now. And I know when they just want to get out of here. But my wife's had very little bear interaction. So this was life threatening for her. So I said all that to say this. People don't know where you're at, and you don't know where others are at. You don't know their experiences. You don't know where they've came from. But what we do know is that we can help point them to their hope, who is in Christ Jesus. We do know for sure He is our hope and our salvation. And if we can point them and get them to hope in Him as their Lord and Savior, as where their strength comes from, their life will be better. Her hope was not in me that night. Her hope was in her home that is safe and bears cannot come in and destroy. Sometimes in life we don't trust the person we're with, because we're putting our hope in them instead of the one who saves. Sometimes our hope is not in the right place, but our hope should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to leave you with these two verses. Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Lord wants you to have hope in Him so that you can have all joy and all peace? He wants to bring you joy. He wants to bring you peace. And He gave us this amazing gift or partner or counselor in life called the Holy Spirit to help lead and guide us in every situation and every circumstance. And I wish I could tell you that in every situation I never lose hope and I always rely on the Holy Spirit, but then I would be lying to you. So I'm still practicing and working out in every situation, putting my hope in the Lord God Almighty. Making my first choice to be, Holy Spirit, lead and guide me, because I don't know what's going on right now. Direct me, give me counsel. Because I'm at a bear bait and I don't know what to do. Right now I'm freaking out and I want to run. Because we get to that place in life where we're freaking out and we want to run. And usually it's away from the Father and not to Him. Because the devil has manipulated, he's lied, he stole, he's cheated our hope. And we've placed it in the wrong things. So return your hope to the Lord Jesus Christ. Last verse, I'm going to skip 2 Corinthians. We're going to jump into Psalms. Psalms 147. Psalms 147, 11. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. The Lord delights. If you're going to fear something, fear the Lord God Almighty, and it will make your path straight. You will toe the line, obey His commands, and He delights when we put our hope in Him, when we put our trust in Him. Do you want the Lord to delight in you? I do. Pick me. I've got to put my hope in Him. I've got to put my trust in Him. Each and every day, put my hope in the Lord. He is where your strength comes from. Amen. Father, we thank You today for Your Holy Spirit. God, for Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank You for the hope we have in You, God. Illuminate in our minds and our eyes, God, that we would see through every situation, God, every scheme of the enemy, every deceit that he would place against us, God, to give us false hope. God, that we would see through it. And God, that we would put You at the center of our focus, Lord God, that we would keep focused on You. God, that we would put out a great attitude and effort as though serving the King of Kings. No matter what situation or circumstance we find ourselves in, God, that we would bring You glory, that we would bring You honor, and God, that we would turn people's eyes toward You as their hope and salvation. Father, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wayne, would you come, please?